You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I'm going to talk to this guy so much during the year, so now we get to do it early, late February. So Paul O'Neill recently relaunched his IPA beer, appropriately named Warrior 21. It's the first hazy Northeast-style IPA to ever be brewed in collaboration with a professional baseball player. The first beer to be brewed in collaboration with a Yankee player and the first beer to ever be brewed in collaboration with a World Series champion. That's a lot of firsts.
Yeah.
Paul, what's going on there? That's a lot of firsts,
buddy. You gave me some really good nuggets there, Michael. I didn't even know that. Let me get those over again. I'll write them down. Huh?
So where did this? How did this come about? Before we talk baseball, how did this come about? Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, it was, you went through my career. I didn't drink beer. I didn't drink while I played. And then all of a sudden, when I got out of the game, I started to have a beer once in a while. And then I absolutely fell in love with the IPAs. And, the Warrior 21 kind of came about because of the brewmaster that owns Wolf and Warrior in White Plains. And we went through, we were introduced. I went through a couple of different batches, and I said, no, that's not what I like. This, and we finally hit one that, like, hit the mark for me. And now I've, basically become a beer snob. I only drink that one.
Now, Don and Peter, I maybe Paul can explain this, because he tried explaining it to me in the booth. You're saying that an IPA a day is, like, healthy, right?
It is in my when you're not playing baseball, it is. Yeah, or you're not doing
right.
A game. Yeah, afterwards it's perfect. Yeah, it's. There's so many things that everyday things change, but I look forward to cracking my own IPA. And again, the taste is phenomenal. It's you brought it up. It's a Northeast IPA, which means that they're using the hops from the Northeast of the country, and it has a distinct flavor. And, Michael Children from Wolf and Warrior, the brewmaster, is so passionate about making exactly what I wanted. And, he looked like a scientist down there. It's got a bubble at the perfect time and bottle at the perfect time and can. And, far beyond what I know about making any kind of beer. But it's been a fun project. And obviously in New York, it's been fun to watch, it kind of grow and then show up in grocery stores and have people tell me they like it. I mean, it's been a fun venture.
Where can people get it? I mean, there's a specific place that they could get it? One chain?
Well, it's in grocery stores. Yeah, DeChico's is a big carrier. Halftime Beverage, you can have it shipped anywhere in the country. And we are working on getting it to other states because, me being down in Florida now, it seems like half the people are from New York anyway. So, I've had a lot of people come up and say they've had it, but where can I get it in Florida? And at this point, we're working on those things. And, I'm just kind of riding along and enjoying, a Warrior 21 once in a while.
Now, what you do for a living, you play baseball, you analyze baseball, you're an expert. So how difficult is it to get into a venture where you have to rely on other people's knowledge to be able to eventually get good at what you do?
Well, again, when I met Michael and I went through, the brewery and I saw the vats and I saw how how hard it is to put these things together, it's just not a regular light beer that, you can't tell the difference. There's so much passion in these guys and there's so much, everyone's got its little distinct flavors. For instance, I don't like real bitter beer. That's not my thing. And some IPAs are. The hazy factor comes from the hops, and actually there was a drop or two of oat milk in it, which even made it lighter.
Whoa.
And it's just, they get into these things, and it's a lifetime venture for him, but it's been a fun thing for me.
I've got an idea. Before we get into talking about the Yankees, I have an idea. I don't know if Jared or Flip will okay it. You and I doing a game together, right? Each of us has a can each inning. Who will make the least sense at the end of the game?
I hope it's no rain delay. You'll be carrying me out of here.
All right, so what do you think? What do you think of this Yankee team, Paul? Today, Juan Soto showed up. He said all the right things. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you saw the pictures yet. Stanton showed up. Paul, he looks like a different human being.
He does
He's
look different.
He's all lean. So, I mean, what is it, what could this mean for this team?
Well, I mean, obviously, Stanton's a huge offensive force when he's healthy, but it's about keeping him healthy. And I remember talking to him when, you know, he went home close to the end of the season. I said, you know, your whole goal right now is, you know, to change your workouts, to get to the point where, you know, you don't have to worry about being injured, where you can play. And, you know, 500 at-bats would be huge for the Yankees if Stanton is healthy.
Now, it's funny, though, because, I mean, you know this. The guy had 7% body fat. It wasn't like he was out of shape, but could a baseball player have too many muscles?
Well, I think you can get tight, obviously, if you build up too much. And some people are more apt to do that than others. I mean, I had to work out and put on as much weight as I could, lifting weights, because I dropped so much weight. You know, Stanton doesn't look like that, but you know, you go back to the way training is now, and I don't know that players train to play 162 games. I think that they train for explosion, strength, speed, and that's kind of just a thread away from tearing something. Or you see pitchers throwing 100 miles an hour. You see guys hitting the ball 500 feet. You know, how many times you hear oblique injuries and things like things that you really didn't hear back when guys just trained to be out on the field every day.
And that's what's frustrating as a fan, Paul, because you heard Buck Showalter say this during the offseason about, you know, I think Nimmo had like 10 total bases in a game. Well, we got to sit him the next day because he was out on the field too much. He was running the bases too much. It seems like these guys plan for playing X amount of games. If they've got a big day, they're off the next day. If they push it too much, they get hurt. I mean, how frustrating is it to see, you know, guys just be in condition to not even attempt 162 games?
Yeah, it's definitely a different mentality, and I think it starts in the minor leagues. I think that, you know, even pitchers down there throw five innings. That's what they're used to. You know, if you were a minor leaguer when I was coming up, you played every single day to learn the game. You know, you learn how to play hurt and beat up sometimes. But it's not done that way. You know, they have so many numbers and analytics that tell you, you know, this guy needs a rest. I tell you, looking back, I mean, there are times where I see guys have a great game, possibly a couple home runs, and then the next day they had the scheduled day off. That can't happen. I mean, when you're riding a hot streak, you want to be in there every single day. Usually your days off are more for the mental side of it, where you're really struggling, where, you know, the off days, the pre-planned off days, to me, it's just a different way of looking at things and obviously a different way that they play the game.
What is Soto going to mean to this team? It seems like the initial thing Judge wants to bat third, that means Soto would bat second. How do you think that lineup plays out with Soto and Judge?
Well, I think Soto does a great job, you know, obviously on base percentage. And Aaron Judge, I think, is a little old school in the fact that, you know, he's wanting to bat third. And, you know, that's kind of a premier place to hit. And, you know, obviously it's going to be huge protection for Soto. And, you know, with Soto's on base percentage, and Aaron Judge is going to get an opportunity to hit a lot with men on base. And, you know, when you're writing out a lineup, that's what you want. You want your better players, your better hitters, to have those opportunities to put the game out of hand.
Did you like knowing where you're going to bat every single day, or did you mind moving around?
I hated moving around. I said, I'm so into schedules, though. I mean, it's just, you know, when I got to the Yankees, I was fifth. And then when I remember the meeting in Texas when Buck said, hey, I'm going to move you to the third. And I was almost embarrassed because Don Mattingly, obviously, was the third hitter. But once I got used to that, you know, you kind of just get used to the rhythm of the game and when you hit and then what opportunities you have. And, you know, when I became the third hitter, there were so many times where I'd see Knobloch, you know, up. I knew he would take pitches. Jeter was swinging at the first pitch out of the batter's box, so you had to be ready to hit. So, again, it just kind of puts you in the flow of the game, and I didn't like a lot of changes.
All right, so you brought up Mattingly, and I have to bring this up before we move on. I don't want to forget. I don't know if you've seen the guy. He's got a beard like Santa Claus. You got to call him and tell him to stop. I mean, what's he doing?
Yeah, I know. He actually texted us last year, Michael, and said he was listening to us. So, you know, we can get him on the air, but yeah, I don't understand Cap's beard. I really don't.
Yeah, it's not a great look for him. It makes him look older. You know, we're the same age, and I look so tremendously young, Paul. And you know, now he looks old. It's not good. How important is Rodon bouncing back to this Yankee team?
Well, I think that coming in, it was kind of a wasted year last year, obviously. I mean, when you don't start the season on time and then, you know, you're not successful and you're still trying to show that you belong, it's a clean slate for him, obviously. He needs to get off to a good start and be a dominant pitcher. I think that you might see him change a little bit where, you know, he was a fastball slider guy, just a two-pitch pitcher. And when you're not getting outs that way, obviously you've got to change and possibly spin the ball the other way, change speeds. And I think we might see that this year. I think Andy Pettit actually mentioned that to him last year. But there's no doubt if he's healthy that he can be, you know, one of the premier pitchers in the American League.
I've got to ask you. Was that you, Peter? I'm sorry.
No. It's all right. I was just trying to get in there, Paul. Obviously, the pitching the last couple of years, it's just not been what Yankee fans have expected or what you could reasonably hope would help you make a playoff run. Not to be overly analytical and nerdy, but Michael, remember at some point we looked at what the expectations were for Stroman. And the expectations, right, maybe part of the reason, Paul, that the price wasn't so high for Stroman is that the analytics tell you he may not be great. Is there a world in which Stroman could not be great and Rodon doesn't end up getting back to the level that you expect him to, where this team could still be good? I mean, what I'm saying is there a world in which this team could manage without those guys? Because it seems like every year the bad thing that could happen to pitching with this rotation seems to happen.
Well, I mean, you're talking about two out of your five starter. You're talking about 40% of your rotation not being great. That's hard to overcome. But every year there's a surprise. I mean, it was Michael King, and that's one guy they're going to miss this year. Being when, you know, as well as he pitched, he was in the starting rotation. I think Schmidt's going to be better than he was. But you know, you got to remember, you've got the reigning Cy Young. You've got Gerrit Cole. So you don't need Rodon and you don't need Stroman to be 20-game winners. You need them to be competitive day in and day out. And I think that's one thing you know about Stroman is he's not going to overpower you, but he's going to give you innings. He's going to give you an opportunity to win games, and you need a guy like that in your rotation. So, you know, God forbid anything happens to Gerrit Cole, because he's been the rock, obviously, in the pitching staff. But, again, there's always surprises. The Yankees do have some pitching in the minor leagues, and they also have some guys that, you know, have been in the rotation the last couple years and have showed good things. But it's all about, you know, keeping your pitching healthy. Nestor could come back and have a great year again. And, you know, as much as we're talking pitching, you know, the problem in the past couple of years has been offensively, where they, you know, they don't score enough runs. And that shouldn't be as big a problem this year.
All right. And finishing up with this, Paul. So Anthony Rendon, you know, the third baseman for the Angels, doesn't play a lot. When he's hurt, he doesn't play. He said this today, and I want to get your take on it, because, I, you know, in all the years I've been in baseball, it seemed like you loved playing the game. He said, "It's never been a top priority for me. This is a job. I do this to make a living. My faith, my family come first before this job. So if those things come before it, I'm leaving." Now, again, nobody loves your family more than you. You're a faith-based guy. But isn't there a separation there that when you get to the field, that job is really important?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of that quote was like, I was kind of taken back. I haven't heard it. I mean, obviously, faith and family are what you base your life around. But, you know, if you're given a gift, and but you have to be somewhat competitive to the point where, you know, you look out there at competing and you want to beat the pitcher because it's a one-on-one basis, and you want to beat the other team because it's my team against your team. So, you know, that's very hard to understand. I think that you can have all the things in life that you mentioned, but still, when you have that opportunity, and it is a short window, and I see it more now, obviously, being retired in the booth with you, that you don't have an opportunity to play baseball, professional baseball, for 40 years. I mean, you have a window, and you better be, you know, there's nothing worse than looking back and wish you'd have done something different.
Yeah, I don't want to play pop psychologist, but when I hear players say that, I wonder if that's just a mechanism to try to take pressure off themselves. Like, when you build it all up as the most important thing, when you fail, it's going to hurt. But if you set things up like, well, listen, as long as I've got my family and God, nothing else matters, I think you're kind of just trying to create some sort of soft pillow to land on, yeah, if you fail.
But, Don, he shows that, well, that's what he believes, though, because he never plays. He's never on the field, ever.
I can tell you right now, I had more sleepless nights while I played than I do now, because the game eats at you when you don't play up to your expectations. So, you know, to that point, you know, somebody that has that much talent to not want to go out and compete every single day, whether you're banged up or not. I agree with you, Michael. I just don't get it.
All right, Paul O'Neill has relaunched his IPA beer. It's called Warrior 21. You can get it in grocery stores, DeChico, around the New York area, and you can get it online, you said, too, right, Paul? Where do you get it online?
Yeah, Halftime Beverage carries it, and you can also get it in the Yes booth for Michael and I, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me know when game.
It's going to be a fun year, Paul. Fun year.
Let me know what game. I want to guess for myself.
Guys, thanks. I felt like I was on the way to the ballpark listening to you guys. So have a great day.
Thanks. I'll see you in March. All right, take it easy. That's Paul O'Neill, new IPA. Those Rendon comments, Don, I hear where you're coming from, but, I mean, listen – one of the things I stand on, I don't doubt injuries, because I know what happened with J.R. Richard. This guy never plays through any injury. We're talking about Anthony Rendon, and you know he's told people that I know, you know, I just don't love baseball. And there's a lot of guys that don't love baseball, but they're good at it. That's how they earn a living. But if that's your mindset coming in, then you know what? You're not going to really bust it. You're not going to, like, go the extra mile because it's just a job to you. So if you got the sniffles, you're not going to play.
Yeah, you know, I know you don't name names or whatever, but you heard rumors that there's a lot of players that aren't in love with the game that they play.
Right.
But they
just
do
have to be good at it.
Now, maybe they're motivated by the money. Maybe they're motivated by just in the room. But Michael, I mean, how do you look your teammates in the mirror? All right. Maybe you don't love it, but when you suit up, when you commit to a team, you've got to be able to make that effort, and that's got to be rooted out by the team, by the organization. If there's somebody that's just not all in, then I'm sorry, you can't count on them.
Well, then,
and I would think the teammates would be the first one to police it out.
Shame on the Angels. You know, you got to do your due diligence before you sign a guy. If Anthony Rendon was always like this, then it's on them. They're the one who gave him that long term contract with for sick money. And, you know, if they didn't know his past and how he felt about the game, that's on them. You know, just like the Yankees trading for Joey Gallo, it's on them. They should have known about Joey Gallo. Or any team that brings in a guy that's not good, that doesn't fit into the scene, it's on them. It's not on the player. Anthony Rendon hasn't changed. He's always been like this, Don.
Yeah, and the fact that he admits it, to me, kind of falls into trying to take the pressure off himself. Like, listen, I'm not going to play your game. This is not that important to me. I'm not going to play every day. There's other things that are more important. And listen, God and country and that's all applied. Like you said, it's all implied. Nobody cares about his family more than Paul O'Neill. I mean, you've always told us stories about how much he cares about his family. But you saw the way he played. He played like an animal on the ball field.
That's all
like,
he cared
about. Can be true.
Yeah, because you can love your family and you can have faith in God. But when you get to the ballpark, your job is really important. I mean, I wonder if the Angels feel like they're getting hoodwinked out of money.
I just that's the stuff I can't stand. And then you're the bad guy for questioning why he's put God above his livelihood. I'm not doing that. Put God above your livelihood. Put your family above your livelihood. But when you put those cleats on and you go on the field at that particular moment, for those 9 innings, for those 60 minutes, for those 48 minutes, whatever, you should be fully and totally committed to your job. That's the way anything is in life, Michael.
I agree.
Is that you? And I'm sorry. That's just how you honor your contract. That's how you honor your teammates.
And that's also how you walk into a room. That's how you honor your family and God.
Oh, listen. You know, I love my family. You love your family. You know, Peter loves his wife. When we go on the air for 3.5 hours, this is what we do. And that doesn't make us bad people. You know, it's important. We all have jobs to do. We all have to go to work. I'd love to spend all day with my family if I could.
Yeah,
but we've got a job to do. But you know what I mean, Peter? It's like, you know,
I get the
we idea. All it's a nice we thing. All can't just do whatever we want. You know, there's going to be certain obligations that you have to your family, to your God, to your church, to whatever. And then there's an obligation to work. And you sign a contract. And especially when you have teammates. And you go into that room and you want to know you're there for your teammates and the teammates are there for you. So, come on. All that could still be true. That just,
it's funny,
lazy.
If you see all the people now, like, reacting to Rendon's comments, well, you want them to be honest. Well, why are we ripping him for saying his family and his faith is more important? We're not ripping him for that. But when he gets to the ballpark, you should want to play. You should want to play through injuries if you're not seriously injured. I remember a conversation I had, Yankee fans of a certain age, they'll know this name, Lee Guterman. Remember that name? A relief pitcher, tall guy. He was a Christian. But when he got on the mound, he was nasty. And I said, how do you reconcile that? He said, because when I'm on the mound, I have to do whatever I can to get out that guy because I'm doing the work for God so that people could see what he allows me to do. That doesn't mean that I have to be passive, and that doesn't mean that I have to be docile because I happen to be a man of faith. It's completely the opposite. So there's different ways you could attack it, and if you choose to attack it, well, faith is more important, so I'm not going to go all out. Well, then you're just ship-shifting, the faith for what you need it to be. Do you want to play or not?
Sure.
Shape-shifting. Thank you. Woj is reporting that the Nets are promoting Kevin Ollie, former head coach at UConn, to be their interim coach. And he will run practice tomorrow and then start coaching the team after that. That's not the new head coach full-time, but it is the interim. But remember, Chuck Vaughn started as an interim too, and then he was hired full-time.
Yeah, because if he gets them in the playoffs, even the play-in, he's got a chance of being the coach next year.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Marcus in Manhattan. Marcus.
Yes, hi, guys. I just wanted to – the thing that you guys brought up to Kevin Ollie. I'm calling to defend Sean Marks. I hear a bunch of quote-unquote Nets fans criticize him. I think he's done a fantastic job, you know, hiring Kenny Atkinson, draft picks like LeVert, Allen, Cam Thomas. He did what any GM would do in getting KD and Kyrie and Harden. They would have won if they didn't get hurt against the Bucks. And they've done a great job. But ultimately, KD and Harden wanted to leave because of Kyrie. They kind of hamstrung Sean Marks with their demands to go to the Sixers and the Suns. So honestly, what you can get back is kind of limited when they say, I only want to go there, especially Harden. He was going to be a free agent, so you get something for him before a trade. So I think he's done a great job. I think there are a lot of fans who just want to cry, especially in the Northeast. Things don't go well.
But Marcus, let me stop you for a second. Okay, you said that hiring Kenny Atkinson was a good job. Why acquiesce to the players and fire him? Why hire Steve Nash, a neophyte, who's in over his head?
I fully agree with you, but ultimately, at the end of the day, that's when you get into bed with superstars like that, those are the cards you're dealt with. He did what any GM would do. I don't agree with it. And I love Kenny Atkinson, but ultimately, when you got in bed with those guys,
Another thing. Why'd you have to give in to the demands of Harden? I mean, it would have been better to lose him for nothing than to bring in that contract of Ben Simmons, who can't play, who can't stay on the court.
I understand. I would say that Ben Simmons has done pretty well when he's on the court. Of course,
when he plays,
you know, ultimately there's when he plays, right? And ultimately, there are draft picks that are attached with that as well. But you know what? You really can't go into a situation where you lose Harden for nothing. Like, you just can't do that. So I would say the main thing that I disagree with this tenure was surprisingly hiring Jacques Vaughn. I know in the period of time that they were in, when they were in conversations with Udoka and the whole entire Kyrie thing, they didn't go through with it. I felt as if, you know, if they hire Udoka, you have a few bad days of press, it all blows over. But nobody talks about it with the Rockets anymore. So that's right. The only thing that I'd hold against them. But, you know, ultimately, I just don't – I think, you know what, these are the cards that they're dealt. They move forward. They have a great plan. He's shown that he does the job well. And you see how it goes.
Well, I will tell you this, Mark, is you certainly, you know, obviously love the Nets, but he said he did a great job. This is his fifth coach. That's not a great job. Getting the big three together, as I said earlier, that's great. But then it fell apart. For what? I mean, was he part of the reason why it fell apart? Did he not handle them the right way? Listen, I think he's a smart basketball man. He comes from the San Antonio Spurs tree. I get all that. But to say he did a great job, I think that's taking a leap. You can't hire five coaches in 5 years and be anointed as doing a great job. Something went wrong. So something went wrong on his watch many times. So great job. I'm not sure I'm ready to go there. Hey, spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you'll even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, there's a couple stories out there that should be addressed. It was reported by Mark Feinstein, I got to respect. And also yesterday by Bob Nightingale of USA Today, also a guy I know and respect, that the Yankees are still in on Blake Snell. Now, Bob Clappish, a guy who I'm very close with and respect immensely, said it's nonsense. What it kind of smells like, teams are not allowed. They are not allowed to say publicly, we are not in on a guy, because that inhibits his free agent market. So the agent could leak something to a writer like Bob or Mark, and the agent is Scott Boras, to try to generate some kind of a market. And you know, teams that might be on the fence about getting Snell, well, now the Yankees are very interested in him. I don't think they are. I just don't think that they're going to invest $35 million a year for a short-term contract in Blake Snell. I just don't think that they will. Do I say it's impossible? No, it's not impossible, but it doesn't make sense. And the longer spring training goes on without Montgomery or Snell signed, you're getting a compromised pitcher for the beginning of the season. You're getting a pitcher who's going to hurry his way through preparing for the season in order to not miss opening day or not miss that much time. Then you're getting a pitcher like you got with Carlos Rodon, who got hurt in spring training, then rushed, and then really got himself hurt and ended up missing half the season. I just can't see it. I'm not saying that it's absolutely untrue, Don, but to me, it reeks of Boris doing his job, creating a market.
This really bothers me because I've heard you say this before, and I think a lot of people don't realize the rule that you're not allowed to say you're not in on a player.
Yeah, Brian Cashman can't come out and say that's not true. He can't say that.
It's ridiculous. But yet an agent can plan a story that a team is involved that's really not to get more money for their client. And then the loser in all of it are the fan bases who now are teased to think they're in on a player they're really not, and then that team gets killed when they don't get the player.
But you know what could happen? I mean, Bob Clapper said he you know, through sources, it's not true. I mean, the Yankees could go through sources just the way we think that Boris didn't attach his name to it. You know, it was leaked to these reporters that the Yankees are still in. So I guess the Yankees could leak to their reporters that it's not true. But I see what you're saying because it excites a fan base. For what reason?
But why can't a team say we're not interested?
Because let's say a team says we're not interested and other teams bow out and that team really is interested. Everybody's playing games. That's why.
But so what? I really don't understand. Just you're in, you're out, whatever. I mean, I don't understand how I can't say that I'm not in.
Don, you can't even say we're done. This is our team. You can't even say that because then you're telling. I mean, there's still like 125 major leaguers that are unsigned. Then you're telling every other team, well, the Yankees or the Mets or the Red Sox, or they're out. So we don't have to worry about them, and that drives the price lower. It's just, it's a curious thing, but you're not allowed to say it. Right, you're just not allowed to kill the market.
But you can see when a team is good.
Right.
I mean, you can't see, all right, they look like they're all set. They're happy with their team. They've got to say no. It just seems like it's Tonka truck. It really is. But I just feel bad for the fan that now gets sucked in and start to think something's real that really isn't real. And then, you know, Cashman will get killed for not getting Snell if Snell goes someplace else. And they weren't really interested in the first place. It just seems... Yeah, don't you feel like the fans are kind of getting teased here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it a story or not?
But maybe the Yankees are sitting there going, you know what? If the price gets to $25 million and we can get it for 2 years for $50, then they'll jump. But I just don't think in the market that – I mean, this guy was looking for 9 years at $270 million. Who's giving that to Blake Snell? Who in their right mind is giving that to Blake Snell?
But I think there's a lot of teams that are playing the long game with these free agents. Like, I think that's what the Mets are doing with J.D. Martinez. The Mets obviously need a DH.
They signed Luke Voigt today. They're good.
Obviously, they need a DH. Okay? And they probably don't want to go more than 1 year because they've got the plan for 2025. So they'll just hang around and maybe do what J.D. Martinez that the Dodgers did last year. And then just wait it out. And maybe eventually J.D. will go, okay, I'll sign another 1 year deal for $10 million and hopefully I'll rake and then be able to cash in at the end of the year or whatever. But there's probably a lot of teams that are waiting. Yeah, listen, I may not be interested in Blake Snell for the money, but if I wait another couple of weeks and his price comes down, then maybe I will be interested. And then that changes the dynamic if I know what the price is.
11:30 today, Yes actually carried the press conference live where Juan Soto spoke to the media in Tampa. You know, he reported today. Everybody reported today.
You said, and he said all the right things, Michael.
I'll tell you what, Peter, I don't know how much of it you saw. This guy's good. I mean, he's obviously fluent in Spanish and fluent in English and really expresses himself beautifully. Said all the right things. The guy has arms. He was wearing, I think he was wearing a shirt that said the transformative Juan Soto. Imagine having a shirt with your own name on it, and his arms are the size of most people's thighs.
I'm glad that you said he has arms, period, because there were concerns I heard leading into the week. No one had seen him in
weeks. That's Venus de Milo.
Yeah, did he not have any arms, and how would he play the field? And bat, for that matter.
I got to tell you, like, it's because I was just kind of brushing through social media, and there was a picture of Juan Soto.
Right.
Then when I looked at it, you could see that it's Juan Soto, obviously. But when I brushed by it, and you could have passed for Aaron Judge. I mean, when you looked at the arms, he looked really, you know, beefy.
Oh, he's big.
Oh, Soto's jacked up, man. He's jacked up. He's fast. He's smart.
Now, if he was standing, Peter, you'd be able to tell. But just like sitting there at the press conference, just kind of flipping through social media, like it's pretty jarring.
He also would not answer about long term. He said, "I'd let Scott do his job." Scott has him. I mean, they are both on message when it comes to this. They just are. And then the other big story, showing up at camp, was a guy that you didn't recognize. He's standing next to Aaron Judge, and he looks scrawny. And that's Giancarlo Stanton. So obviously he redid the way he prepares for a season. The guy's never been out of shape. Never. He is so sculpted. And as I said, 7% body fat, all muscle. But it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And you could see he leaned down, man. He actually looks thin now. He looked really small compared to Judge. So maybe that works for him. Maybe he's able to stay on the field. And he to me, all the trials and travails that he's gone through, he's handled it great. Nobody has handled being a Yankee as well as him. Nobody's handled the Yankee and failed in the regular season and handled it as well as he has. He's been unbelievable. Says all the right things. Never jumps on the fans when they boo him. Says he understands. He gets it. And now he's got a different body type. So let's see exactly how that works out. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you guys today?
Great. You?
I couldn't be better.
Good. What's up?
Just got out of a meeting with my advisor. I want to say one quick thing about Rendon, and then I'll get to my point about Stanton. I personally get mad at it because growing up as someone that isn't a professional athlete and just a fan of the sport, hearing someone with all that talent say that, it's infuriating because I wish I had that talent, and I would have used the talent differently than he is, obviously.
Also, you know what, Dan? He has a responsibility to Artie Moreno, who's paying him all that money. He just does.
Does he mean Rendon?
You mean Rendon. He means Rendon.
Anthony Rendon.
You meant Anthony Rendon. Okay, good. Last week we had a Rendon-Rodon situation. Go ahead.
And then with Stanton, I think that he is the X factor in this lineup. Judge and Soto are going to hit, but if Stanton can back them up and produce, and he looks much better, like he looks different, hopefully he can run the bases better this year. If he produces, that lineup becomes exponentially better. And if he can get not back to 2017 form, but somewhere in between that 2017 and 2021 form, where he was really good that year, that he could really be a dangerous team to face against.
Well, Dan, let me put it this way, and we thank you for the call. If he is, you know, MVP Stanton, his last year with the Marlins, obviously it's quite an addition for the Yankees. But the way the Yankees are built, whether or not Stanton has a good year is not going to impact whether they have a good year. I mean, it could take them to another level, but they're covered. They're covered. They're not covered for Judge getting hurt. They're not covered for Glaber getting hurt. They're not covered for LeMahieu or Rizzo getting hurt. They're covered. They've got a lot of guys that could fill that DH spot. Then you play Trent Grisham in center field. Great defense. There's certain guys that they can't absorb the loss. They can't absorb the loss of Gerrit Cole and the guys I mentioned. Stanton, I think they have to go into any season knowing, you know, whatever we get from him is a bonus. And that's not knocking the guy. He's just been hurt a lot. But one thing they do know, when they get to the postseason, he's the guy who stands out. He's the guy who does the job the best. He's had great postseasons for the Yankees. So them getting knocked out in the postseason, it's not because of them. Not because of him. Scott in Bay Shore. Scott.
Hey, Mike. Hi, Peter. Hey, Don.
What's going on?
First things first, I think the Yankees have Rizzo, Stanton, Soho, and Judge, all four of those guys, 30 home runs each. My point is, how does the Nets come back and be a team under a new coach? And how do they respond to that new coach?
Well, I think they weren't responding at the end to Jock Vaughn, Scott. And we thank you for the call. I mean, they lost by 50 points to the Celtics. That's pretty much sealed his fate. So, they know Ollie. He's been on the staff, so I think they'll be fine. You know, they've got to play better. They want to play better, I would think. Well, what I would suggest to the Nets, let the coach coach. You know, they are, you know, we talk about heavily analytic teams. The Nets are really heavily analytic. And Jock Vaughn followed it to a letter, to the T. That's why it's somewhat hypocritical to get rid of him, because he's doing their work. They're telling him who to play, who to rest, and how to play. Let Kevin Ollie coach.
Well, it's just a move for move's sake. It's a move that you can make. You can't say Cy is cheap, considering the fact they still have to pay Jacques again another year on top of this,
and they're still paying Nash.
You know, so but you know, listen, you didn't make the big trade, and you want to do something to try to salvage this, you know, 10 seed and sneak in and bow out in the play-in and figure that's some sort of a success.
By the way, the shirt that Soto was wearing, the generational Juan Soto. I think you should get one for yourself, Peter.
You know what? I might. I'm a fan.
Can I tell you guys one thing? I'm a little bit worried about a friend of ours.
Who is that? I know who you're talking about.
He's saying things that are so disconnected from reality that I'm legitimately worried about him. Like I was worried about Don when he made the mathematical mistake last week. I'll tell you what I'm talking about and who I'm talking about, but it's concerning. And if Don knows what I'm talking about, I think he's concerned as well. It's not what
for a different reason.
I don't know who we're talking about.
Well, you know what? You got to stick around to find out, okay, Piven?
Piven's not a huge insult. I mean,
I'm not saying
I don't think he meant it as that when he said it.
Well, you know, when you keep calling someone by a name that's not
okay. Your glasses are like Kenny Smith too, like what he was wearing yesterday,
and Edward James Olmos, Selena's dad.
Again, I don't consider that a real compliment either.
And I'm talking okay. Piven and old school. You know that, right?
But that's what makes that specifically an insult also.
Yes, and that I agree.
It was intended.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, Paul O'Neill texted me. He forgot to mention that his IPA beer, Warrior 21, is served on draft at Alba's and Sergio's in Westchester, two of his favorite restaurants. So
that's right, Michael. Alba's and Sergio's. Just tell him, Paul.
You didn't break it out when he was on.
Tell him Paulio sent you.
Paulio. That also makes mozzarella sticks, right? Oh, that's Paulio.
That's right. Sure.
So who I'm worried about? Worried about Mike Tannenbaum. I think we all should be.
Oh, no. What happened to Mike T?
I'm worried for a different reason.
Well, first of all, Mike's going to be on DiPietro and Rothenberg tomorrow at 7:35 in the morning. In a period of 4 days, he said the Giants should trade Daniel Jones for Deshaun Watson. Sure, take Deshaun Watson's bloated, fully guaranteed contract. You can get out from underneath Daniel Jones now after this year without very much of a cap hit, but take on the contract of a guy who's got a dubious off the field, you know, resume. And today he said, "Hold my beer," for nonsensical things. He said the Jets should bring in Russell Wilson as the backup to Aaron Rodgers. Sure, because Russell worked out so great with Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. That's exactly who you want. Now, Russell Wilson, you think he wants to back up Aaron Rodgers? If he's going to continue to play, he's going to try to find a place where he can be a starter. But bringing him back to a place where the offensive coordinator and him didn't get along.
I'm worried for a different reason, Mike.
Tell me. Because
Mike Tannenbaum's an intelligent person.
All sure right? He is.
He's a very, very smart. No joke, man. You can't be a general manager and multiple teams in this league and be stupid. But I think what's happening here is that football is so gargantuan, Peter, that it's better to make stuff up in the offseason than talk about the other sports. That's where we've gotten to as a network, and that's where we've gotten to in sports, period. That football is just such a beast, such a monster, that just make up stuff about the NFL rather than talk about what's going on now. And it's going to be to the point that the NFL is going to become 24/7, and the other sports better make sure they're on their toes. Because the way this sport is right now, with the way the ratings are going to be for the draft, which is coming up, which is obviously a subject of conversation for sure, and the way that baseball created a hot stove 30, 40 years ago, football is going to create it where that it's going to be 24/7.
But
and
you
the
can't
other sports
make stuff up. That makes no sense.
Well, but that's what's happening. I mean, honestly, that's what's happening here.
Yeah,
there's
but
no way any of those things absolutely make sense. Like the Giants would ever conceivably want to bring in the contract of Watson. Like you're gonna reunite Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, which was an utter disaster. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but to tell you, he said it on First Take. Get Up, right? And Dan Graziano got up and walked off, and Bart Scott checked his cup to see if there was liquor in it. I mean, it's so far off like the reality path.
Well, again, I'm not going after our network. You got to do what you got to do. You are sitting here in February. We are 2 months away from the draft. The Super Bowl was played a week ago, and they had to get up, and everybody on the panel was from football. Right?
Yeah,
spring training is open. You had the stadium series in hockey. You had the NBA All-Star game. And what did you have? What was the panel? Bart Scott, Mike Tannenbaum, Graziano. Wait, this is what we're doing. It's football, baby. Luckily, Peter, we love it. If I hated football, man, I'd go buy tickets to an opera or something, because that's what's happening now. Football is just taken over to the point now where you're just going to get absolute nonsense, and it'll actually resonate more than any other sport's actual meaningful games. Am I wrong? If I'm misstepping, please tell me.
No, but he's better than that. He's a really bright guy. You can't be throwing out stuff that has no basis in reality.
But the reason I think I'm onto something here is when bright, intelligent people do stupid things, there's got to be something to it. Because there's no way that makes sense. Zero. And neither did the Giants and Browns making a trade. Come on, man. And you know how I feel about him. He's a good guy, but this is ridiculous.
But by the way, it's not just Mike. I mean, it's half the people talking on sports television.
Oh, I know. It happens to be Mike today, but it's everything else.
Yeah, you know, don't worry about Mike.
You know, Stephen A. Smith screaming about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Bart Scott going after, what's his name from the Cow? It's all just getting, going after Parsons. It's all just, it's a testament to how big football is. And again, I'm not going to make this weekend out to be that big a deal, because the NBA game was meaningless. Listen, I don't expect Rangers Islanders to resonate around the country. But this is what we're at. Is that it's better to talk nonsense football than to get into anything else. And I honestly don't know if it's going to ever, stop, really. What's going to happen early in baseball, Michael? I mean, you'll have some compelling stories, but is anything going to move the needle nationally?
Well, yeah, when Blake Snell signs on April 29th, yeah, that'll be big.
Yeah, in New York, I don't think anybody else in the country is going to care.
Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're ready. It's you. Because I'm just digging myself a hole here, so save me.
I know. Yeah, you know what? I think it is good to get him out. Go ahead.
Anita Marks will be live from the park at UBS Arena on Saturday, February 24th. Starting
at noon. That place.
That's right. It's before the Islanders matinee matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're giving away four pairs of lower bowl tickets plus one pair of premium club seats at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Join the New York Islanders for every thrilling matchup in March. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for all the exciting action on the ice. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/March.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.